Hey, everybody. Sure hope you're having an awesome day. I've been looking forward to this time together with you, as I'm sure my son Michael is. As you can tell, I am catching a healing, so I appreciate your prayer. I know I'll be good for the weekend. I feel better than I sound. But anyway, man, I'm looking forward to this. You know, we're in the early part of the holiday season. And if you're like me, I enjoy all the hustle and bustle. I wouldn't enjoy it year round, but I enjoy it, this month. And then between Christmas Day, I enjoy having an opportunity to rest a little bit between Christmas and New Year's so that all my food can digest and I can be ready for the fast and get ready for a new year. But as pastors, you know, this is the time of year when we have a lot of emotion in our heart. And the truth is, I was going to do one on talking about our family, but I've done that in the past. And as I prayed about it, what I want to talk about today is how to help people move forward. You know, as a pastor, you can sense, especially this time of year, that you really want to help people move forward in life. But the issue is that sometimes you feel like you're doing it in a more shallow way than you are a substantial way. And so today we want to talk about how to be more effective without expending more effort. And I'm glad to have my son Michael on with me today. He's been a part of this journey with me since he was born, first as a kid watching his parents, then as a young kid listening to our phone mate, wondering what in the world he's going to hear on there. And now, as a man, he's been navigating ministry himself. He's been on our staff for, going on, I think, what, 17 years, Mike? Have you been on staff about 17 years? Yeah. So now he's our creative and he's our associate pastor. He's my right hand, really, here at the church. So I'm looking forward, Mike, to hearing your thoughts today.
Yes, sir. And just talking about a phone mate says how long that we've been doing, at least for me, a long time ago. No, I'm glad to be on here. You know, I think heading into the holidays and then into the new year, like, I think this is a really timely conversation to have. And I think, you know, all of us have experienced both on a personal level, you know, stagnation, fatigue, maybe lack of clarity, things that have impeded our progress, and even especially on the leadership front, right? People that we lead who, need help knowing how to take steps to move forward. And, you know, learning how to do that is so crucial for people in ministry, for anyone really, but for those of us in ministry. What a good topic to be able to cover today. So thanks for letting me be a part of it.
Well, part of what motivated me was the excellent job you guys did as the creative team and our Stories of Thanks service. Now I'm going to quickly just go through the four people that we highlighted, you know, and the first one was a guy whose mother prayed with him for years, but he was a drug addict, man. His brain was being burned. He was to the point his family couldn't even have him in their life anymore. And now he has a good job. He's stable. Life is good. And I couldn't have done that by myself, but we as the body of Christ can, as we're going to talk about. Then the second person that we talked about was somebody who a husband and a wife are on vacation, and they've got grown adult children with them, and they're in like a gator, not a gator, but a golf cart. They get hit by a car. The wife dies. The husband's in severe pain. And, you know, I think it was a niece, honestly, who was the person who came to church. But that experience led to the whole family coming to Jesus, getting water baptized together, growing. It was just so touching to see the difference that the church made to help this man and this family move forward. And then you had another guy who was down in the valley, and his dad was a drug dealer, and then his dad got saved and became a church leader. And Bill Shear had a part in that one because he ended up in Guts intern program. Now he's our youth pastor. And then there's a fourth one, and that was a girl who, when she was younger, her parents ended up, her mama came, got involved in drugs. She ended up being raised by her grandma. And then she married a guy who was showed affection, but then got abusive. And she came to the point where she said, if I can't trust God, if I can't trust my parents' love, and if I can't trust a man's love I gave my heart to, how can I trust God's love? And she was brought to church, and now she has been happily married for years, and God's doing such amazing things in her life. But at this time of year, there's nothing that feels more overwhelming. When you have a pastor's heart and you can't help people, nothing feels worse than that, you know? Nor do you want to feel like you're putting Band-Aids on bullet holes. You know, you don't want to feel like you're really not helping people. So today we're just going to get down into it. And we're going to talk about, you know, Jesus in Matthew 9. And we're going to get real practical. But I want to start with the scripture that he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that word harassed is a Greek word that means they were fainting. You know, fainting isn't good. Yeah. If your mom sees blood, she may faint. You know, it's just something in her that she doesn't like to see blood. I've got other things. I can just see the needle and I can faint sometimes. They're thinking about putting a needle in me. But, you know, people, what happens is they get overwhelmed by their circumstances, what Jesus is saying. They just faint. And then he said they're helpless. And this is worse. The Greek word means they're like a desperate doer. They're like a guy that's in the ring throwing his punches, but he doesn't even think he's going to land one. He just doesn't know what else to do. And the Bible says that for the church, man, it's our job to show up and to pastor those people so that everything begins to change. And today we have some great pastors and shepherds who are listening to us today. And Mike, I'm really looking forward to talking about these four ways that we can move people forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Me too. And I love that you use that scripture to kick it off, because I think it's just a good kind of thing to remember as we get into this. You know, Jesus, it says, it didn't say he was disappointed or frustrated with them. You know, it said he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So as we jump in today, I think it's a good reminder that we're like sheep and God knows it, right? That doesn't mean we're dumb. That doesn't mean, you know, I think there are some incredibly smart people, especially those watching the webinar today. But it does mean that we need a shepherd and we need Jesus. We need each other. And so from that self-awareness standpoint, you know, knowing that we're sheep and that we treat people with compassion, we treat ourselves with compassion sometimes, knowing, you know, absolutely, you may be a good looking, highly intelligent, successful sheep, yeah, but still sheep, right? And which means God created us to need each other and to need him. Proverbs 3:5-6, right? Don't lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. So I think that self-awareness as we get into that, both for ourselves and for the people that we lead, that we get the opportunity to help, you know, lead sheep, to help lead sheep and to help accomplish what God wants to do in their lives. So I know I've learned that lesson along the way many times, that God gives us his word and he gives us each other for a reason. And that's part of it. So I love that as we get started, just that mindset.
And I don't know if it was you or mom, but you guys talked about sheep and sheep are dumb and sheep are defenseless. And there was more than that, but there was at least those two, I remember. And I thought, well, am I really dumb? But, you know, honestly, the devil's an evil genius. And when you look in society, I'm dumb compared to Einstein, you know. I'm not dumb compared to most people, but I'm dumb compared to Albert Einstein, how smart he was. And when it comes to the devil's ability to mess people up, we are sheep, man. We need God's word. We need help. We need each other. So again, I'm glad you're in me with this. But these are the four things I want to encourage people to think about as a pastor over the holidays as you're trying to help people move forward. And I hope you'll wait till the end. And I hope you'll think about how all four of these work together, because at Faith Family, I'm thrilled with the attractional nature of our church. You know, our county is only 90,000 people. And in 2023, Michael, we had about 500 people baptized. We're on track this year to have 600 people baptized. That's a lot of hurting people come to the Lord in a county this size. I mean, think about it, you know. But what I'm really thrilled about is the discipleship movement happening, that we're not just attractional, but I see some people that are really owning, attaching to these people and doing the four things we're going to talk about in this session. So here's the first one. We want to assure people of the power that faith has to change their life. People need comforted, but they need more than pity. They need to know progress is possible in their life. And so from the pulpit, this is such an important season to celebrate stories of faith. We started doing stories of thanks years ago because I just noticed, man, I guarantee you that that depression and anxiety and worry exponentially decreased because of our stories of thanks service. Faith, hope, love, goodwill, all those things exponentially increased because of our stories of thanks service. And so we always want to end reminding people that everyone who's born of God can overcome the world. But this is the victory that caused us to overcome the world, our faith. So at this time of year, it really does start with people knowing that there's a God who can help them. We can be compassionate, and we should, and all that's good, but people's problems are God-sized, and we have to help them find answers that are in God's word that are God-sized as well. So I just want to encourage people to do that, to assure them that God's word has the answers they need, and their shepherd can help them find those answers. We're not going to give them all the answers in church. We're going to have a fourfold process I want to share, and we'll talk about it later. But the four things that we do are, number one, we help people know God. We help them find life. We help them build godly friendships. We help them make a difference in the world. And we help them see that in church, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be around you, but he wants to be in you. And we teach people that when we're teaching you and you feel God around you, that's awesome. But your life's going to change when you feel God on the inside of you. And for a shepherd to stand up and help people understand what you're feeling here can change your life, and to say it with boldness and to say it with compassion. And then to say, now there is a second step, and that is you got to start finding life in God's word. Got to get the right people around you, because we're like the stock market. We kind of grow like this. We don't have a good day every day, you know? Mm-hmm. And then make a difference, because people who don't get off track are those who stay in that circle of love. They don't just want people to help them, but they're helping people too. So that's my first thing, is it's just so important that we teach people that faith will change your life.
Right. Man, that's good. Faith is kind of like fuel in the tank, you know? I think of it like that. It's a catalyst. When we lose faith, we lose motivation. When we lose motivation, we become stagnant, discouraged, start moving backwards. So I agree with you on stories of thanks. I talked to so many people who were really just so encouraged by the stories. To see someone who is maybe where you feel like you are or you can relate to, and to see God's faithfulness for them can just stir up such a faith. So it's one of my favorite things that we've done. That we do every year, stories of thanks. And I think it is for our people too. And like you said, just reminding people of God's promises over their lives, just reminding them what God says about them. And if there's areas you're feeling stuck in, declaring God's promises and living his disciplines. Another thing I think of, Dad, is just how important it is to get around in environments and people that stir your faith. Yeah. You know, we're not robots, right? We need to feed our faith. We need to feed our motivation. We need to feed our inspiration, or else it begins to slowly starve and wither. We all know the scripture, Proverbs 29:18, I think it is, or it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need vision. We need faith. Make sure that we have people, and we're providing, we're encouraging our people to have a healthy diet of building faith in their lives. You know, I know I've seen you do this in your life over the years, as you have time in your schedule, in your year, where you're going somewhere that feeds your faith, that encourages you about what faith family can be and about what God's doing in your heart. So you're learning from people, but I know you're also going just to get your faith stirred up. Yeah. And we have to steward that, you know, and we have to encourage people to steward that. Because if we lose sight of the goal, if we lose sight that this is possible and this can happen. I know, like for me as a creative, you know, I put myself sometimes in environments with art or music or things that really inspire me, so that something can come out of me and I can be reminded to have faith for the best songs I've ever written, to have faith for these things. Yeah. And, people need that. It's not going to just happen, because you can get consumed with the day in and the day out and the struggles and all these other things. Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach, he said that obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. Wow. And sometimes we need to be reminded to put our eyes back on the goal. And whether that's spending time with people who are maybe where we want to be, maybe they've gone through some of the things like stories of thanks, and it just inspires our faith. But it's I think it's a good reminder that we need to stir up that faith every now and then, and we need to do that regularly.
Absolutely. That's so good. You know, I'm saying it this way because, Mike, I started pastoring with 80 families. So we have 1,600 families today, but I know what it's like to have 80 of them reaching out. And you remember this story, but it was my first Thanksgiving as a pastor. And we were supposed to go to your grandparents for Thanksgiving meal. And a lady called me and said, "Hey, my husband just walked out on me. Can I have Thanksgiving at your house?" One of the ladies in the church. And man, my heart was broken for her. That was her condition. And I listened to her. I prayed a little bit. I made sure I connected. And then I told her, you know, I wish I could. I said, but my wife probably wouldn't be too happy if I told her we couldn't go to her parents for Thanksgiving. And I said, "We probably have to go there." But I said, "Could you find somebody?" And then the next year, something happened where single people started getting together and having Thanksgiving again, so that people in our church know that would never happen again. But the thing I want to say to people is, you can't be their answer as a fellow believer, but you can be their answer as a shepherd. And you start by making sure you get faith in people's heart. Pastor Billy Joe helped me with that so much. I'll never forget. It was my freshman year of college. My parents were not happy. I was not in the Catholic church. And that morning, man, he just preached on Romans 12:2, that don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't go back like Abraham. Don't go back to your family. Don't go back to things that are going to pull you away from the faith. But be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you'll know what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. He broke it all down. The perfect means that, you know, I can just tell that I'm getting matured into the person that God wants me to be. And pleasing means that God's will is going to please me more than doing my own will. And he just broke it all down. And he started that morning, Michael, just making me hungry for God. I mean, I was just a young, confused believer. And he just preached faith strong into my heart. And then I wanted to go back to the night service. I didn't have time to go to the night service. I had to pack up and get ready to go home for Christmas, you know. But I went back to the night service, and there was a guest speaker. And the guest speaker said, "God visited me that there were a number of you that he gave a dream about your family to last night." Well, God did give me a dream Saturday night about my family. And there were like 200 of us up at the altar. And I mean, I just think about, you know, where I am today. No person can get you there, but we put faith in people. The second thing we do is we put fight in people.
Yeah.
You got to fight. I was just with Major General Kurt Fuller. He was involved in the leadership of, he was the leader of our troops in Afghanistan. So he negotiated with the Taliban, did a lot of tough things over there. But man, he was teaching on spiritual warfare. And I just thought, man, I got to get better at this. And I just think about all Paul taught in Ephesians, everything he taught. You're adopted. You're a child of God. You're a masterpiece. God made you good. God has a plan for your life. He wants to put you in a family. He wants you rooted and grounded in his love. He wants to do more than you'd ever ask, think, or imagine he could do with your life. He gets done with all those wonderful truths. Then he comes to the end and he says, "Now finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full," not part of it, "put on the full armor of God." When General Fuller was talking to me about the armor of God, like he prepares soldier for battle, I'll be honest with you. I said, "God, I'm going to do better this year. You know, I'm going to do better." For instance, he talked about how he is as a general, he said, "I had no idea I was letting the devil beat me up in my mind." He said, "I was accepting so many thoughts and I wasn't wearing the helmet of salvation." And then after hearing him, I heard this guy that is a best-selling author, sells millions of copies of books, you know, really been used of God. He was turned down 800 times by his publishers initially, 800 times,
wow.
But he fought. And we have to help our people have faith And we have to help our people fight because we got a struggle and it's not against flesh and blood. And I know in my life, there are things God's called me to do that some of the people the devil used the most to try to stop it shocked me. But you can't get angry. You can't get bitter. You got to keep on believing. You got to keep on battling for what God has for your life. We have to help our people do that.
That's right. And that's right. I want to go watch the Rocky movies right now. I think society and culture, this is kind of a trap that if we're not careful, we're kind of fed that everything should be quick and easy, right? Like that, you know, you can lose 40 pounds in a month with this supplement or in 30 days or, you know, build wealth and, you know, all these things. And then of course, fast food, instant banking, like everything is fast. And we can feel like progress should come so fast and so easy. And when it doesn't, you feel like something's wrong or you get discouraged. And sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we can reinforce this in the pulpit, right? So what I love about what you're saying is the side of it that's, this is going to be a fight. You know, in this world, you will have trouble. Don't shy away from that because what's going to happen is people will think, man, this isn't working like I thought it was supposed to. And then they'll get discouraged or they'll feel like they must be doing something wrong or this isn't for them. But when you tell people, hey, it is going to be a fight, but it's worth the fight. You know, you are going to have tough seasons, but that's why we're here together. You are going to have tough seasons, but that's why, you know, you have God's word and we have each other. Then what happens is when you go through those fights, you're ready, you know, and you have that support system and you have the right mindset to go through that. And so I love that. I think, you know, don't get so fixated on the destination. I think that's something you taught me is fall in love with the process because 95% of your time in life is the process. 95% of the time in life is the journey. And you got to love living every day in the journey and in the process. And so I love that. Strengthen that fight. Teach people to fall in love with the process of being the person that God's created them to be every single day. That peace isn't the absence of a storm, but peace is peace in the middle of the storm, you know, like Jesus had and rather than the quick mindset, you know? And so I think that's a good thing to think about as even as preachers and communicators that we want to preach God's promises and all those things, but we don't want to give a shallow overnight. We don't want people to think that this isn't going to be a fight. Man,
we get blamed for that too. We get blamed for being, whoops, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We still there? This is... I should have turned the phone off.
I think there we go.
That was my fault. For some reason, my FaceTime comes up when somebody calls me. So it's probably mom. But anyway, yeah, we get accused of it, rightfully so. I'm not speaking about all the other pastors in the world need to be as good as me. I'm talking about me, that there was a time I said, I am a hope peddler. My hope's too shallow. I got to take people deeper. If God's going to change their life. So that's what made me think about this. And again, you know, we have something that helps families kind of navigate Christmas. And I want to say this quickly, that what we've done that really worked for years in the Graff House is we are totally focused out until the middle of December. So we have our Stories of Thanks service before Thanksgiving. We had our Lighting in the Nativity service last night, which was so fun. We have our series, which is three-part, which I'll finish. Then we'll have a big concert that we'll love. But then we turn in and we turn into our kids. We turn into our families. We come back to a Christmas Eve service. It isn't quite as highly produced. You know, it's just more a little bit simpler because it's in the feel of what we're doing. So if you want to think through your family side, I think, Mike, we're going to actually put that one up again, aren't we, here in a couple of weeks so people can think through the family side. But as I got ready this year, I just thought, man, I know how many pastors are thinking about their church. And I want to think through it with them. And again, just encourage and preach some faith. I mean, get there this week and tell them what you know and tell them the stories of the people whose lives prove it's true. And then, you know, if you put some fight in them, you're going to move some people forward because it's not easy to move forward. 800 times you have a publisher tell you that it's not worth it. And it sells millions of copies. You know, that's crazy. Here's the third thing. And that is to connect people in meaningful fellowship. Hmm. There's one thing that I appreciate more than I ever have. And that is that there's a great commission and there's a great commandment. And the great commission is that people need disciple. that they need to be matured if their life's going to go right. I mean, think about just yourself, Mike, that, you know, God has some sugar daddy in him. I had some sugar daddy in me as a dad. When you were a little kid and you started playing the guitar, I probably bought you a guitar that I couldn't even afford just because you love your kid. You know what I mean? It's like, why'd you buy that one? You just love your kid. You have your own son now, so you know what I'm talking about. And then that kid gets that guitar and you look in there and he's kind of playing it, or he's kind of, you know, and it's because there's a second job, and that is you give your kids opportunity, but nothing's better than giving them maturity. And connecting people and relationships that help them mature and grow into who they really want to be is one of the greatest gifts you ever give people. And as a pastor, those who are mature, John talked about it, because at the end of the first generation church, both John and Peter talked about false teachers. They saw all these people have an influence in people's lives that weren't good for them. And John called out the mature people. He said, you fathers in the faith, I need you to mature the young men and women in the faith. I need you to do it for the church to go on and be strong. And people in our church, if they're going to really move forward into good stuff, got to teach them faith. We got to teach them to fight. We got to teach them how to have the right fellowship, not to get around people who allow them to live in shallow hope or get carnal, but get the people in their life who are truly practicing those 15 one another scriptures that the Bible calls us to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, I think of some of our next gen staff. You've been taking us through the Ready, Set, Grow accelerator stuff, the coaching stuff. That I know some of the pastors in our network are going through. And one of the things they've been talking about on there a couple weeks ago, if you'll remember, it was the growth team stuff they were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that basically what they were saying is, defining core areas of our lives that we want to excel in. And then, you know, so for an example, maybe that could be like for me, like husband and father, maybe some things I want to accomplish with my career and calling on my life, my physical health, finances, mental, emotional health. So you have these different areas of goals. But then from there, don't just make them goals, but putting a team together to help support you in each of those areas. Now, obviously, this can't be one-sided. We can't just take. We should be that for people, and we should help our church have that kind of community in their lives. But he was talking about just how important it is that we can't do it alone, you know? And they said a few things in there. They said, if you try to do it by yourself, you're going to get stuck where you are, because for the most part, you're going to keep doing some tweaked version of what you're already doing. And that really hit me hard, because I thought of how many times I've tried to make change to do better, but really it was just a tweaked version, because, you know, I'm me, you know, I have my way of thinking. And so sometimes to have that outside perspective of someone who can totally change the way you're thinking or encourage you to think in a healthy way, that can change so much. And then he said, you'll get frustrated because you'll keep getting the same results that you're getting now. And then the last thing he said, you'll think that problems you have are not solvable when they actually fully are. You're just one coach, one mentor, one away from a huge life change. And I just thought, you know, how important it is to have the right people in our lives speaking into us. And that's the same for those that we lead in our church. We can't be that for everybody. You know, we can always show up ready to feed people, but we want to have that kind of community. And whether it's through connect groups, whether it's through teaching people to build the right friendships, all those ways, but we can't do it together. Right. He also said this, he said, we all have blind spots, which we know things we don't see. Right. We have deaf spots. And the last one, he said, we have dumb spots, which basically just means that there's things we don't know. You know, there's things that maybe we haven't experienced it. Maybe we haven't learned it, but someone else has. And I won't go into all that for time's sake, but I'll just leave it at that, that, you know, those kind of relationships pay huge dividends in our lives.
They really do. And I'll tell you what I've learned. I used to put a lot of pressure on myself, and you know that. I mean, this really saddens me, but I come from a family that they've achieved some things, you know, like I have pro athletes in the family, and I have successful business people, pro sports executives, people like that. But I also have people in the family who got alcoholic problems. I saw some real pain. And so it made me think about it a lot as a person, because in my own life, if I'm honest, I was raised with a lot of discipline, but not a great appreciation for discipleship. And so in my life, I could feel myself exasperating my soul. I could feel it. I didn't know what the answer was. I didn't know what else to do. But I knew I was in a battle between those who kind of broke down trying to do it and those who somehow were strong enough to at least do something significant. God has something so much better. And here's what I've learned, Mike, is that it takes three things for me to be all God's called me to be. I need his grace fully operative in my life. That's why it's so easy for me to get up and do what I do in the morning. My first goal isn't to be a successful pastor. My first goal is to be the friend of Jesus. I want to go to bed at night feeling like he says, man, Jim, you and I have been together now 47 years. And man, we're tight. We've gotten close. I can tell you care about things that are in my heart. I remember when you were selfish. I remember when you had a hard time talking into some stuff. But you know what? We're getting tight. That's my first goal. And when his grace flows in my life, my goodness, you end up achieving things you can never achieve without that. The second thing I learned is I need the grace of people. I just can't do it. He puts grace in other people's souls that their dreams he calls me to, significant church being one. God wants to refather ministers. He wants to do that now. He wants to refather them. I'll be talking about it in our conference this year, but so many of them is they haven't had somebody with empathy in their life. They have people who believed in them. And if someone tries to train you with excellence, but they don't believe in you like a father, you get exasperated. That's what happens. And so many people out there are exasperated right now. If you have somebody who's empathetic, they believe in you, but they don't have the excellence to develop you, then it's not exasperation, it's starvation in your soul. I appreciate you believing in me, but man, I need you to grow me. I need you to help me be something. But when you find people who give effort, and most pastors are given effort, they're overworked, they're underpaid, they're staying in the game, even though their souls are tired. And I know that if we can get empathy, excellence, and invested in the effort they make, that God's going to empower ministers at a whole new level. That's my burning passion at Significant Church. And I got a whole hour to talk about that in our national conference. I got a message burning that I want to share with people, because that's how Paul reached the world. That's how Jesus reached the world. That's how we're going to reach the world. And it's so much fun, because what you do is you look up and you see God making all these incredible human beings, people becoming what they never thought they could be. And he's building incredible families where people are relating to each other instead of competing with each other and being all of that. And so it's just, I didn't really get off track because it was my favorite part of the webinar. But I was going to tell you, if we want to help people move forward, let's not take all the pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But let's recognize, got to put faith in them. Got to put fight in them. We got to get them in the right fellowships with people to move them forward. And, what I've learned, Mike, is that my grace is a small part of what brings my success. The grace of God is so much more. The grace of the people who've invested in me so much more, support me, work with me so much more. And then I enjoy being at my best, and I do have to be at my best. I have to work, but I can't do God's will by being at my best alone. It takes all three of those.
Right. God's calling on our lives are always dependent on, we're intertwined, right? Like we're part of a larger body, and he wants to use us, but we can't and shouldn't ever do it on our own. That's not God's design. He's placed us all here together. I know that that's been your heart for this network from its conception, is that you believe in the local church, you believe in pastors, you believe that something truly special can happen and is happening when there's strong pastors and strong churches in every community. And so I love this network. I love that, this exists to provide a place where people can find not just the resources, but also the relationships that you're talking about. And, I can't wait to meet some of you, hopefully, next week or next month. I'm sorry. That scared me a minute. I'm glad it's not next week.
Yeah, you got a lot to do between now and
then. Yeah, next month for our retreat, because I can say that some of my most valuable friendships and even some people on that growth team I talk about have come from being around the Significant Church family. People who maybe are a little bit ahead of me people that may be right in a similar season of life that I'm in, people who have been through it, maybe people that I even get to invest in a little bit. It makes all the difference to have that in your life. So hopefully I'll get to meet some new people this year. I'm looking forward to it. It's starting to fill up. So we're so excited about it. But yeah, that really is our heart. We believe in pastors in the local church, and we believe that something amazing can happen when we support each other and we give God our best.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the last one. We'll wrap this up because it's the holidays and everybody has a lot to do. But if we want to move people forward, it's faith, it's fight, it's fellowship. But there's an important fourth one. It's feedback. It's being able to get people to the point they can hear from people. You know, James talked about it, and I think the progression is so important. He said, are any of you in trouble, you should pray. In other words, if you've got a problem and God's made you a promise, you need to learn the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I like the second one. He said, are any of you happy, you should sing songs of praise. Mm-hmm. So if you don't come to church with both a sense of dependence in your heart and a sense of gratitude in your heart, then you're just going to church. You're not learning to relate to God. But then he said, is anyone sick? Let them call for the elders. Let them call for people who have some answers for them. And then you got to confess your sins too. You got to do things differently. And this world is filled with people who don't want feedback. You can tell when you talk to them that they want encouragement, but they don't really want to get honest feedback that they need for their life to be all that God calls it to be. And I hate to say that. I mean, I had a great talk with a friend recently, and we were talking. He said, you know, people just need someone to put their hand on their shoulder and say, you can make it. And after years of caring about pastors, I looked at him and I said, well, respectfully, I don't agree with that. I said, because we got so many people with hands on their shoulders who aren't helping them really get down to the issues in their heart that are keeping them from being everything they want to be. And I said, we have to think more about what it means to be a father. That, you know, I think it's, Mike, I honestly think it's something we're dealing with in America, that because of how things have worked and most moms and dads are working and everybody's so busy, and then you throw in all these select sports and things that your generation gets, because of that, a lot of times parents just, they want to be liked by their kids. So they affirm them, but they don't nurture them, right? And, right. But if I really want to help my child be his best, I've got to teach him to pray. I've got to teach him to live with thankfulness for God, but also got to teach him how to seek out answers and to take honest feedback and listen to things that can make him better. I just think about times in my life where I was changed by Steve Mansfield, because he looked at me when I was a young guy and he said, hey, listen, he said, you're just doing your best. You don't have a walk with God. You're just doing your best. I went back to my room and I thought, am I really just doing my best? And I thought doing my best was just trying to be holier than I was. I didn't know I had to learn to pray and walk by faith and do all this other stuff. But I could go on and on with moments where the Holy Spirit or people made me face something and get better. And it was just life-changing. So that's the fourth one. I think if we do the other three well, I think if we put faith in people well, if we teach them to fight, if we get fight them, and if we get them surrounded by the right people, that feedback should be something you crave, not something that you make yourself do, right? It should be something you look forward to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the key for us is helping people grow to love and crave that feedback, to see, you know, as we're leading people, to see the value in always learning. You know, the best leaders never stop learning. Most successful people, they value feedback. You know, there's people you think, oh man,
they're the right people, right? Not by somebody trying to control you, not by somebody who's not an elder. You're sitting there thinking, well, how many churches have you built? You know, I mean, you still have to listen, but I'm just saying,
Yeah, absolutely. Just like what we talked about with fellowship, you got to be intentional about who those people are. All that stuff is true. But I think cultivating that, and I think it really does start with cultivating that hunger for it, you know, because the thing that keeps us from feedback, I think oftentimes is one, just busyness, not making time to slow down and listen and address things. Two, sometimes maybe it can be pride. Right. Sometimes we can feel like we don't need the feedback. The third thing probably is just not knowing who to trust, not knowing who to go to, not knowing who to listen to. So I think if we can help answer those questions for people, if we can, you know, cultivate a spirit where we're not prideful, but we're hungry for feedback, help people connect to the right kinds of people to, and then, you know, make sure we have the kind of balance to where we prioritize it. You know, I think that helps a lot. And I know even in my own personal life, I've seen all three of those be a hindrance to getting the feedback I need. But we're all learning and growing, right?
Yeah. Well, Mike, we're pastoring the church together, but I have another mandate on my life, and I know it. And that mandate's twofold. Number one, it's what God said to Abraham at the end of his life. He said, I want you to look out at the stars, and I want your descendants to be like those stars. Mm-hmm. So every neighborhood and every nation needs a church. We see it in Revelation 5:9. Jesus talked about every nation. He talked about every people, talked about every tribe, talked about every language is going to be in heaven. And mm-hmm. we as the church, we can't be content that we, you know, we have churches that are pretty full. We got to reach Revelation 5:9. That's what God showed Abraham. He showed the seed of God eliminating the darkness that's out there in the world. So we want to see every neighborhood and every nation have a thriving church. And second mandate, I remember I was sitting in my office and God said, you're going to help get Gideon up out of the wine press. There are a lot of people called of God that you're going to help them get up, and you're going to help them become the champions they're called to be. And I just want to say this, I could never do that on my own, but I'm so grateful for a bunch of guys around me now, a team of guys that are those Abrahams. They're going to get those Gideons up out of the wine press. And so if you're watching today, I'm going to encourage you that we do five things at Significant Church. Number one, we have these webinars. They're going to help you. We like to call them our biweekly lunch appointment, where you sit and you just talk with some folks I know you'd love having lunch with, talking about the stuff we talk about. The second thing we do, we have a warehouse for you, and we got some great stories we put up there that you can use in your church. I had a small church. I remember when I couldn't afford videos and things, and we just like to give you everything we can to help you succeed. The third thing we do is we're developing exchanges across the country where you don't have to live in isolation. Isolation is what keeps us in our inadequacies. When we get the right people investing in us, good things happen. So we have exchanges. The fourth thing, we have a national conference. Man, don't miss it. If you get here, you're going to eat some awesome free food. You're going to have some amazing fellowship. But January 27th to the 29th, man, let me just encourage you to come. I promise you, you won't regret it if you come. It's going to be awesome. And then the fifth thing, Mike, is we have now a partnership where our guys that really can help people are going to be able to coach people. And focus, you've been talking about it, but we're going to focus on how to get pastors on personal growth plans to develop the unique person God made them, the unique significance God put in them, how to build organizational structures, because you can't do it all. So how do you build organizational structures? How do I build teams? How do I vision cast? How do I motivate? How do I schedule? How do I stay in touch? And then we'll help you scale your system so you start moving forward. So I just want to encourage people just with two things. And then, Mike, I'll give you the last word before I say goodbye to everybody. And that is, do you know a pastor who needs to hear this today? Do you know somebody who's struggling to give hope, but he's not satisfied with how he's given hope to people? And these four things would help him take the pulpit with some strength this weekend and help people really move forward this weekend. You know some pastors? If so, would you share this with them and let them listen to this and let it bless their soul like it did yours? Also, want to just encourage you to share or subscribe. We're at the point now where, Mike, some other organizations like Parable and a pastoral organization, they're buying all the meals this year. Praise the Lord. They can tell. Yeah. It's up to something at Significant Church. So when you guys share and subscribe, you help us with that kind of stuff. So we appreciate it. We don't make a dime from this. We do it because we love pastors and we want to see churches in every nation of the world. But we sure are appreciative for those of you who know God's in this and your teammate, and you're ready to see something great happen.
That's right. That we feel there's nothing better we could be investing in than pastors like you. You know, we know that Man, when we grow as pastors, the kingdom grows, and there are a lot of people who are impacted by that. So thank you for being on the webinar. You know, that shows your hunger and your passion to give God your best at what you do. And again, I echo what you said, Dad. I really hope that I saw one of the comments earlier in the chat saying you're going to be there at the conference. We can't wait to see you.
Yeah.
Some new people, to see you connect with new people. And like you said, parable, there's some people getting on board too that want to be a part of what God's doing in the Significant Church Network, or through the Significant Church Network, and all of your towns. And so we're so thankful for you. I want to just, Dad, just say thank you for what you shared today. You know, I just, as someone who's been in ministry for a little while now, I hope people feel free to know that you can't be the singular answer for people this holiday season, but you can be part of shepherding them by helping them believe that they can have faith for something better, that they can be all that God's called them to be, by helping them know that it might be a fight, but it's well worth the fight. And then by connecting them to people who can walk that fight with them, walk that journey with them. It can't be you for everybody, right? That's why so many pastors have you know, gotten worn out. But, you know, we're not called to be that for everybody, but we are called to shepherd people and connect the body and equip the body to be the body. So I hope that you feel that as we head into the holiday season. Dad, thanks for sharing that. And I will say what you said, that in 2 weeks we're gonna show one of the webinars that we did as a family, because I know family is really important during the holiday season. We can all have a lot pulling on us during the season, but we talk a little bit about how over the years, I have 3 siblings, so there's 4 of us total, and how we've been able to navigate and prioritize and enjoy family during the holidays, even with everything going on. So not next Thursday, but the following, same time, we'll be airing that one, and you can check that out.
And I'm going to be on an anniversary trip with your mother. I'm going to be married. She's going to put up with me for 39 years. So we're going to get away with her and come back for the Christmas Eve services after we get away. But I just want to share these 2 quick stories. I wasn't thinking about it, but when you were talking, because we can't be everything for everybody, but we also can't be too busy to be it for anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So I've always kept a counseling block, and this is going to make some guys laugh. But one time, Mike, I probably met 10 times with a newly saved couple who they were both getting off meth. And I'd sit in my office and I'd hear him talk about how we're doing better, man. I didn't do any meth. I did drink 8 beers this week, but I didn't, or I drank 8 beers one day, but I'm not off meth. And slowly, this couple over this, it was like 10 months, you know, because I'd say, no, this, I really want you to concentrate. Come back and see me next month. You know, they started a catering business and they got highly successful. And now they're in San Antonio running a successful catering business. So I tell you, you're not everybody's answer. But don't go insulate yourself in the office either.
Right.
Yeah, another Friday, I was getting ready and I finished my message a little early. And a kid that grew up in the church texted me and he said, Pastor, I need help. And I said, hey, we're family. And he came in and just confessed things he was struggling with. And I couldn't have felt better driving home on that Friday, just knowing that my church is not a attractional place that puts on programs. Man, mm-hmm. We're about people. And I want to have a whole army around me that's what we're about. And I see that happening. I see it not just happening in our church. These guys listening to me, I know if they were here, they'd say, man, that's happening in our church too, because it's just something the Holy Spirit's doing right now. So again, thank you guys so, so much. We love you. We pray for you. We're so grateful to be connected to you. I'm so grateful I found some of my greatest friends in the whole wide world in Significant Church. I didn't start looking for friends. I looked for some guys who wanted to change the world together. We just kind of became friends doing it. But thank you so much. And as Michael said, we'll see you in about 2 weeks. Please pray for my voice. God bless you.